Hello? Why, yes, this is Maggie McNeller.
And this is Maggie's Private Wire. And here she is, our own gal about town, our columnist of the air, our super sleuth of Broadway and Hollywood with all the lowdown on the latest gossip, just plain glamorous Maggie McNeller.
Thanks, Herb, and hello, everybody.
Hello, Maggie. Say, what cooks in the Friday clam bake department?
Well, we hit the jackpot today, Herb.
Hmm?
We have two guests, Blanche Yerka, who is appearing on Broadway and The Wind is 90, and Enrico Caruso, Jr., who has just completed a successful singing engagement at New Orleans' Roosevelt Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as usual, we have the transcriptions, and I have a dinner of the week.
Oh, very good.
And now I want to introduce one of the most talented actresses in the American theater, Blanche Yerka. Miss Yerka, I guess everybody knows that you're considered a great actress, but if there were any doubters, The Wind is 90 would certainly convince them.
Well, thank you very much, Maggie. My part in The Wind is 90 really does interest me because it's so different from anything I've done in a long, long time.
Yeah.
A very simple, kindly woman, the mother of a dead serviceman who returns to his home to try and help his family through the adjustment necessary when they learn that he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I should think that would be a very difficult role.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Yerka, I like you very much in The Song of Bernadette.
Well, that's fine. I played Aunt Bernard, as you know, and I'm awfully glad you liked it, Herb.
Say, by the way, which do you like better, the stage or the screen?
Oh, I like them both. Of course, they're entirely different. And, of course, too, one of the reasons I like the movies is that you meet so many interesting people.
Yes, and you just finished a movie, didn't you?
Yes, it's called The Southerner. It's a sort of cheerful Grapes of Wrath, I should say. It's going to be released, I think, next Saturday at the Globe Theater.
Oh, grand. See, you know, Miss Yerka, it would take, well, I guess an entire day to talk about your theatrical career. There's been so much of it, but I would like to touch the highlights anyway.
All right, Maggie. Shoot, what would you like to know?
Well, for instance, when did you first become interested in the theater?
I can't remember a time when I wasn't.
Oh, really?
Oh, goodness, yes. By the way, did you know, and this is important considering that we have Enrico Caruso, Jr. as our guest star, it reminds me that I was once connected with the Metropolitan Opera Company.
Really? What operas?
Parsifal.
Oh, you're so talented, Miss Yerka. What role did you sing?
Ah, well, that's the trick, you see. I didn't sing.
Oh.
I was just a young student in a school that they had established there, and to comfort me for not being able to, well, not being mature enough to sing any of the small parts, they let me carry the grail.
Oh.
Yes, I had no singing, just pantomime.
Oh, I see.
It did, however, start me on my theatrical career.
Oh, you switched from the Metropolitan to Broadway?
Well, it wasn't quite that simple, Maggie. For one thing, I lost my voice through overwork. And then I tried the usual channels of getting into the theater with the usual lack of success. However, finally I did get to see David Belasco, the biggest theater man at that time, and he gave me a tiny part in one of his productions. It was just about that time that I met a girl who later became a great friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
She left Belasco to work in a new industry, a very modest little industry. It was being run by a company called the Biograph Pictures, and she got $5 a day. The girl, of course, was Mary Pickford.
Hmm.
Say, I suppose you've appeared with many of the people who, like yourself, are now stars.
Oh, yes, Herb. The first time my name ever went up in lights, it was in a stock company in Philadelphia. Edward Everett Horton was my juvenile lead. And then I remember when I played in a play called The Lawbreaker, there was a thoroughly discouraged young actor named Freddie Bickle playing my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was ready to quit the theater. He was quite devoid of any faith in his talents. Well, fortunately, he didn't quit because he later became known as Frederick March.
Mm. Oh, say, devoid of faith in his talents. Well, there's always hope for me, I
guess. Oh, sure, anything can happen. See, you know, Blanche, you were in one play that I sure would have liked to have been in.
Which one is that?
The one you did at Yale, The Last Days of the Turban.
Ha ha, I think I know what you mean. I was the one woman in a cast with 200 men.
Yeah.
All typical of Maggie, yeah.
Yes, typical is right.
I've always regretted not having brought that play to Broadway. It was really very successful.
Mm, yeah, but you were so successful in so many, with Lawton Fontaine and Catherine Cornell and then Hedda Gabler and The Wild Duck and Mrs. Stratton and Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, and how about the movies?
Yeah.
Weren't you Madame Lafarge in The Tale of Two Cities?
That's right, Herb. The hardest part about that, for me, was learning to knit.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only woman in America that never knitted.
Oh. See, with Russia so prominently in the news these days, Miss Yerka, it occurs to me to ask about your experiences in Russia.
Oh, yes. Well, Maggie, I went over there for the Moscow Theater Festival. I was only there for 10 days, but I gained a great respect for the Russian approach to the theater.
You did?
Yes, it's so vital, and it's not at all hidebound. And I had a wonderful 2-hour interview with Stanislavski at his villa. He was then in his 70s, and I think he's the most wonderful man that I've ever met. And on the trip home, I met Senator Wagner of New York, and most of the trip was spent, most of the walking around the decks were spent trying to get him interested in the need of creating an American version of the Russian National Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it evidently bore fruit because later Senator Wagner presented a bill to Congress which called for a National Theater charter.
Say, you did a very good job in the inspiration department.
Yeah.
And thanks for doing a very good job here today, Blanche Yerkes. And say, on the subject of questions, here's a leading question, leading you directly to a fortune of fun at your nearest Lowe's Theater. Wouldn't you bring on the girls if you were a romantic sailor stationed in Miami with $200 million and plenty of time for love and music and moonlight maneuvers? Well, that's what happens in Paramount's merry mix-up of beautiful gals, music, and mirth, Bring On the Girls. Bring On the Girls is the Technicolor pin-up beauty show of the year, starring Veronica Lake, Sonny Tufts, Eddie Bracken, and Marjorie Reynolds, with the new dancing sensation Johnny Coy and the incomparable music of Spike Jones and his City Slickers. So be sure to see Bring On the Girls. Hit number two is Ministry of Fear, one of the year's best mystery thrillers starring Ray Milland and Marjorie Reynolds. Both pictures are now playing in Manhattan at Lowe's Lexington, 72nd Street, 83rd Street, 175th Street, and Olympia Theaters, in the Bronx at Lowe's Paradise, and in Jamaica at Lowe's Valencia.
Say, how about the dinner of the week you mentioned?
Oh, yeah, what a wonderful dinner.
Yeah, where was it?
At the Seafair. That's on First Avenue just off 57th Street.
Seafair, that's for seafood, eh?
Yeah, so good.
Well, what'd you have?
Well, I had shrimp cocktail first, but my dinner guest had clams casino and steamed clams, which were terrific if you like them.
I do.
Then you should order that. And then I had broiled lobster, and it was from another.
Mm.
And the french fried potato syrup, oh, boy.
Hey, you're making me hungry.
Well, all you have to do is to hire yourself up to the Seafair. Oh, and I almost forgot to tell you about the salad.
What about it?
Delish. Such a dressing I have never tasted.
You know, Maggie, I'm beginning to think you're recommending the Seafair as a good place to eat.
I am, definitely.
Was there a dessert?
Yeah, but I was so full I couldn't eat any. However, the rest of them had chocolate graham cracker pie and coffee, of course.
Yeah.
And I think I should mention that the decorations are very attractive. Glass bricks and running water behind glass and plaster fish in relief. All very nice.
Oh, good food and nice surroundings. For what more can you ask?
Well, nothing except perhaps for...
Superstar, superstar, lots more stuff from Superstar. Richer, longer lasting too, they're the stuff of Super
Dew. Once upon a Monday dreary, washing clothes so weak and weary, came a knock upon my door. Was my neighbor, nothing more. Tell me, neighbor, tell me, pray, is there any soap today that will give me lots more suds so I can clean these dirty duds? Quoth my neighbor, super suds. But how can I cut down on scrubbing and that everlasting rubbing? Quoth my neighbor, super suds.
Super suds, super suds, lots of stuff from super suds.
Here's an easy way to get more red points. Keep a fat salvage can or bowl on the back of the stove to remind you to save every single drop of fat. You'll be surprised how much you can save and how many extra red points you will get.
And now our second guest for today is a young man who has a very famous name and who's beginning to make one of his own, Enrico Caruso Jr. Tell me, Enrico, do you find it difficult to follow in your father's octaves?
Well, yes, Maggie, at first it was. I sometimes find that when I sing, people don't listen to me. They listen for my father.
Yeah.
There was only one Caruso.
Well, there is that little matter, I suppose.
Yeah.
I now realize that no two people hear the same thing. For instance, after one performance, a critic said to me, "You have your father's top notes all right, but not his bottom." Immediately afterward, another will congratulate me on my father's bottom notes, but will shake his head over the top notes. Then a third will console me with the fact that while I have neither my father's tops nor bottom notes, at least I do fairly well in the middle one. Don't you see?
Yes, I see. It's absolutely hopeless. Well, but it isn't really, because those same critics are recognizing your talent in the popular field.
Mm. And by the way, Mr. Caruso, what would your father think of your going into the popular field rather than into opera?
Well, it's not really too different. When my father made his singing debut in Italy, the opera companies of those days corresponded to our popular forms of entertainment in this country. Now, every city, town, and hamlet in Italy had its own opera company.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of them existed. When my father started singing, it was the only form of popular entertainment. There were no nightclubs, no reviews, and no motion pictures.
Hmm, so actually you are following in your father's footsteps, entering the popular field of music, huh? Tell me, was your father in favor of your becoming a singer, Enrico?
Yes. and no.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, he was determined that his son was to follow a career that he had always dreamed of in his youth.
Oh, which was?
Naval engineering. Although very few people know it, my father was an engineer.
Oh.
Therefore, all of my education was slanted in that direction.
And when did you decide that singing and not engineering were for you?
I guess it was from the very beginning, Maggie. For years, I studied with Adolfo de la Huerta, one of the greatest living teachers of bel canto and a former president of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I waited until he gave me the green signal, and that was this year.
Oh.
So I started singing professionally.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be thrilled to hear Enrico Carrizo, Jr. But
yeah.
Say, by the way, where can we hear you sing?
Well, I just finished an engagement at the Rosewood Hotel in New Orleans, and I expect to open a musical here this fall.
Oh, that'll be peachy.
You know, Maggie, I've been asked a lot of questions, but nobody has ever asked me what my greatest ambition is.
And what is it?
It's to play a comedy role in a Broadway musical.
Oh, wonderful. Well, maybe that's what you'll do this fall.
I hope so.
Before you leave for the program today, tell me this. Did your father have any special advice for you that we might pass on to our listeners?
Well, yes, he did, Maggie.
Oh, what was it?
Well, father had three words which summed up the entire profession. Work, work, work.
Oh, I was afraid of that. Well, those words of Enrico Caruso are very true, and the words of Enrico Caruso, Jr. were very welcome on this program. Thanks very much, Enrico Caruso, Jr., for being our guest star today. You were a hit, and,
There's a happy hit on its way, starring that rollicking comedy sensation, Danny Kaye. It's Samuel Goldwyn's wonderful merry-go-round of laughter and song, girls and music, and frolic galore. Wonder Man. Danny's the funniest, wackiest guy on the screen because this time he plays twins. And what a scream he turns out to be. What's with two glamorous lady loves on his hands. Beautiful Virginia Mayo, Bob Hope's heartthrob in The Princess and the Pirate, and the new dynamic dancing star discovery, Vera Ellen. With Danny Kaye as the colossal clown, Wonder Man is a panic of thrills, music, and screaming fun. And once you see it, you'll no longer wonder why this year's Wonder Picture is Wonder Man. By all means, see Danny Kaye, Virginia Mayo, and Vera Ellen in Wonder Man.
And now for the latest news via my private wire. Radio Daily says that Herb Sheldon is radio's best-dressed announcer. Incidentally, Herb was the first person to announce that Russia had declared war. He scooped the entire world. John Dahl, who made such an auspicious screen debut opposite Betty Davis in The Corn is Green, has been given 3 months' leave of absence by Warner Brothers to appear with the Hasty Heart Stage Company on tour. He will do the movie version later. And Michael Joseph Ward is learning that you don't have to be in your 80s to be too old for the film. He reached the ripe age of 1 year on July 13th, and on the same day, Monogram executives gathered around the little actor to debate whether or not Mike was too aged for a role in Rainbow Valley. And did you know that the Associated Press says that Enrico Caruso, Jr. is a good schmaltz singer?
That means a sweet singer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Say, do you think I use schmaltz when I say you've been listening at lunch to Maggie McNellis, WEAF's columnist of the year? Well, for more news, confidential comments, and gossip about Broadway and Hollywood, plus a special interview with starlet Tony Seven, listen in at 12:15 Monday and every day, Monday through Friday, for Maggie McNellis
and Maggie's Private Wire.
Maggie McNellis with portions of the program recorded and transcribed as a WEAF feature presentation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.